section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
Welcome to the Dirty Stalls of It Burns When I Pee. For the past 6 years, the podcasting god,
hallelujah,
Blake Clayton, has brought you the best music, interviews, and comedy on the interweb. So sit your asses down, grab a hold of those handicap rails, grab a cocktail, and enjoy our next generation of auditory dysentery. Join Blake and his revolving door of cast members as they bring you another fucked up episode of It Burns When I Pee.
1, 2, 3, 4. When I turn my radio down, I hear it's pop country. Those corporate jerks sure get on my nerves. That ain't country to me.
Now it burns when I pee. It burns when I pee.
That's what Nashville did to me. So let's take a piss on the Nashville music fest. Cause
now it burns when I
follow that bitch.
When I hit the bars, it's often on my own. My friends, they all have worker kids. I was born too late, and I wonder if that's why when I go out at night I wind up cougar bait. Cougars like to dance, or some they just stare. Everybody gets lonesome from time to time, but go in there. A gentleman I'm not, but I try not to be rude. But if you're twice my age, I'm sorry, lady. Find another dude. I never really fit in this era that we're living. I guess I was born too late. And I wonder if that's why when I go out at night I wind up cougar bait. Cougars are mean, they just want some love, but I'm not volunteering to be Sarah that we're living. I guess I was born too late. guess I was born too late. And I wonder if that's why when I go out at night I wind up cougar bait. I wind up cougar bait.
Alrighty, folks, welcome back. We have another interview episode here at IBWIP, and you just got done hearing a song called Cougar Bait, and it's from my friend, good friend, Aaron Buzzes. Aaron, welcome to the show, man.
Thanks, Blake. Thanks for having me.
We've known each other for a long time, buddy, and now that you have your album out, it was the first thing I wanted to do was definitely get you on the show.
Well, I really appreciate it. It's an honor to be on IBWIP.
That's funny. Nobody ever says that.
Well, you know, you guys, I remember back in the MySpace days before I could even figure out how to work, you know, the podcast thing, seeing photos of you and thinking, that's cool.
So you just released your first album, 3777. How does it feel to finally have a complete hard copy of that CD in your hand?
Well, it was kind of overwhelming. It took several hours for it all to sort of sink in and wash over me, just because it was about a year and a half long process of recording the album, mostly because I financed it myself.
Right.
No Kickstarter or anything. I wanted to do it myself, and I wanted to do it right and take the time to get all the musicians, local musicians I wanted on there, and then at the end it kind of got delayed a little bit because we recorded one extra new song I wrote the night I saw Willie play, because I really wanted to include that, so that sort of delayed it. But in any case, to answer your question, when it finally arrived, when these boxes of CDs finally showed up from UPS and I held it in my hand, it was overwhelming, really exciting.
Awesome.
That is one of the biggest things I've ever done in my life.
Awesome.
You know, and there it is.
So what is the significance of the title 3777?
3777 is an old Montana vigilante code that, as far as I know, nobody is exactly sure what it means, but it was used as a warning. So on the cover, you can see it's carved into a tree. That would, and it's like that's the warning to get out of town. And one of the main theories is that it was for the dimensions of a grave, 3 feet by 7 feet by 77 inches.
Oh, okay.
But it's just like an old West Montana thing.
Cool.
That I liked when I heard.
That's awesome. So, you recently performed at Moonrunner Fest in Chicago. You know, what was it like to get on that bill and play in front of everybody?
Oh boy, it was literally the thrill of my life. so far, Joshy P is a good friend of mine, and was nice enough when he was telling me who he was booking for the show. I just got so excited. I said, "Well, gosh, that's far enough in advance. I might be able to fly out there for the fest." And he said, "Well, if you come out, I'll have you play." And I thought about it for, I think, about 5 minutes and said, I'm in.
Awesome.
I'll just figure it out. So it was really nice of him to include me. And it was just the thrill of my life to be on the bill with so many artists I respect. And then also to be able to perform in front of so many people who know my music from my demos and from you guys all playing me on the podcast and the Outlaw Radio compilation, that track.
Yeah, it was really cool for us, a lot of the folks that know you, you know, to be able, because you do live in Montana, so it's kind of hard for most of us to see you play. So it was really kind of overwhelming too for us as a group there was a sense of pride there, because you know we know that you're one of the most humble people that we've ever met, and you're also very talented, and so it was kind of like seeing one of our own succeed. You know what I mean?
I think so. That means a lot to me. Thanks, Blake.
And you also performed at Farm Fest last year, right?
I did, and that also was just such a thrill and such an honor. And I performed first. I actually kicked the whole damn thing off on Thursday night, And I kind of played before a lot of people had shown up. But what I didn't realize at the time is that a lot of people were there and they were just getting their camp set up or whatever. I had all weekend people who were not visible to me in front of the stage coming up saying they enjoyed my set. And actually, I think I got a couple at Moonrunners who came up and said, oh, I heard you at FarmFest. That was great. So,
you know, during your performance, let's go back to the Moonrunner Fest when I... During your performance, you got a great response from the crowd. You know, how did that make you feel? I mean, you know, you traveled all that way, and you know, like I said, there was a lot of people that had maybe never heard you before, and you got such a great response. How did that make you feel as an artist?
Oh, best feeling in the world. You know, to be appreciated for what you love more than anything else. To be appreciated and even compensated sometimes.
Right.
You know, people buying my CD, which was available for the first time in hard copy at the festival. And I sold several of them, and that just means the world to me.
Awesome. And you were sporting out the Silent Storm Radio t-shirt on stage, which was super awesome.
Hell yeah.
So who, you know, this is a question that's always really broad, but I wanted you to kind of narrow it down. You know, who are two or three of your biggest musical influences?
Well, it's sometimes hard to narrow it down to two or three, but certainly I would have to say Hank Williams Sr. I just think that guy, he could write a song, and if you listen to a lot of Hank Sr., you notice he's playing real similar chord progressions over and over again, but yet he made the songs totally unique.
Mm-hmm.
And also the main thing about Hank, even more than his songwriting, was the way he could make you feel with his voice. He could make you feel every word that he was singing. You were there with him. So I admire that a lot about Hank Sr. And if it's only going to be two or three, I also have to say Waylon Jennings. I'm an acoustic player, but I love the way Waylon played the Telecaster.
Oh, yeah.
That's sort of one of my bucket list things to do is eventually maybe learn to play Telecaster.
So,
and also, again, the vocals. I think Waylon's maybe my favorite male voice of all time.
Awesome. So speaking of guitars, what kind of guitar do you have?
It's a Martin acoustic. I'm not, you know, I think it's like a serial number rather than a name or something.
Sure.
But... It's nothing vintage. I bought it new about a year and a half ago, but it's got great tone. You know, still sounds good when you plug it in. Some acoustic guitars don't sound so good. They sound better mic'd than they do plugged in. I think mine still sounds good plugged in. And I bought it on Hank's birthday, September 17th, and so I named it Hiram.
Oh, that's awesome. So you reside in Montana. Is that where you grew up?
Yeah, I was born in Helena, Montana, but my folks lived in Missoula, so I grew up in Missoula. But I had a lot of family, still do actually, over in Helena, so I spent a lot of my life going back and forth, but always lived in Missoula. Well, I mean, I lived out of state for a little while, but Missoula is home.
What's your favorite part of living in Montana?
Oh, now there's a hard question. I mean, I guess, you know, a part of me wants to say the wide open spaces, and by that I just mean that there's not a whole lot of people here, and there's a lot of wilderness, and it's really close. You know, even though I live in the second largest city in Montana, you know, you could get on your bicycle, if you had a decent bike, and get up into wilderness area from here. And I love that.
A sense of serenity.
Yeah, and nature and then also, you know, I for me it's also because my family is here and my roots are here and I'm very close with my family. So my folks are my biggest my biggest supporters. They hardly miss a show.
That's awesome.
Great.
So when did you start playing the guitar and writing songs?
I started playing guitar. My best friend's father was a serious blues and jazz musician, and he was one of these characters that just would always, you know, they'd come over for dinner and Mike would come in with his guitar. And so it sort of was like I always knew there was this standing offer that if I wanted to learn to play guitar, and my dad had this old acoustic that he never learned to play that was just laying around. And so when I was 14, I finally took Mike Connor, my best friend's father and the man who taught me to play guitar, up on his offer. And I think I had like one guitar lesson, and I was 14 and it was summer, so I didn't really stay with it. But, you know, that was when I went into high school and started listening to music a little more seriously and singing a little more seriously than I had been, and started playing the guitar, trying to learn these chords again to sing along with, basically. And my friends and I, Missoula is pretty close to Seattle in the grand scheme of things, and Jeff Ament, the bass player from Pearl Jam, is from Missoula, he went to college here anyway. So the whole sort of garage band grunge thing was, I guess it was big everywhere, but there was a sense of Seattle being not that far away for us. And we always joked about forming a garage band. One day my friend said, "Oh, you guys, I got us our first gig. We're going to play this New Year's party at my friend's house," and it was November.
Oh, jeez.
So we had to figure out who was going to play what and what our name was going to be, which was ended up being Groundswell. And the five of us threw together this band where I had been playing a little guitar, and my friend Tal had been playing a little bass. His father was the one that was teaching me, also teaching him. And I just fell in love with it once that happened. Where you sort of had to get serious about it, all of a sudden it was like, this is great.
Awesome. So
I was 15 when I really started playing guitar.
Cool.
And writing songs, I guess it was, you know, not long after that. I didn't really write any good songs until, I guess college. I don't know that I would want to share those songs with the world, but they're decent at least.
Well, I think for songwriting you have to have a lot of life experiences, you know, and at 15, you know, your gamut of life experiences are kind of, you know, smaller.
Groundswell's big hit that was an original song was about the local campus policeman that would always get on our cases for skateboarding on campus. So that tells you something.
Right. the masses wouldn't always understand, right?
Right.
So what do you do outside of music?
What I do for my day job is I'm a pastry chef at a local bakery. I make croissants all day.
I was
a bread baker for years, and I moved on to pastry because I thought it might be a little easier on my wrists.
Cool. So how did you get into that's obviously something you got to learn how to do. I mean, how did you get into pastries and baking?
Actually, my same friend that I just mentioned, Tal Connor, who I have to throw it out there while I'm talking about him, did the album art for my CD, which everybody has been commenting on. So that's why I want to make sure and mention that it was my good friend Tal Benjamin Connor did that. He did my logo as well. But Tal worked at this bakery, Le Petit, local bakery here in town, back in, 10 years ago, I guess. Because I remember when I lived away, I'd come back and visit him, and he'd be working the night shift over at the bakery. And I don't know why exactly, but there was something in my head that said, that's something that's kind of interesting. I wouldn't mind learning to do that. And so when I moved back to town in 2005, I applied there, and because I knew Tal, I figured I might have a little in, and I think that might have paid off. And I actually got hired as a delivery driver, and within a month, they had me baking, which is awesome, because I, let them know I wanted it.
Awesome.
And I've been there ever since, so.
Cool. So when folks listen to the album, what is something that you want them to take away from the album? I mean, I guess it's kind of a broad question, but, you know, what do you want them to take away from the album after they hear it?
Well, I guess In its most distilled form, my answer would be what I think any songwriter, which I guess is what I am primarily at the end of the day, wants is that I hope that people can relate to at least some of the songs. I hope that people hear the songs and that it reminds them of something in their own life, or not, because I mean some of the songs are a little dark and heavy, but or if it does, that it's in a good way, the way music, you know, the way. I mean, I started listening to country music after my divorce, so I don't think that's a coincidence.
Right. It's therapeutic. It's therapeutic in a way.
Yeah. So I guess that's
cool.
I guess that's my answer.
So, you know, what do you have planned for the summer? I mean, are you going to be doing any touring outside of Montana, or what do you got planned so far?
Well, I all along I thought I would try and do a CD release tour, but it just became kind of too much to take on all at once. I'm still working my way up, I think, to that. I've been doing a lot of booking around the region, and of course I just went to Chicago. there's this one festival I've been waiting to hear back on, and if I do get booked on that, that would be out in Washington. I'd try to do a little mini tour there. It is inevitable, a tour, but for the summer I'm going to be playing. I've got quite a few dates around Missoula, Western Montana here, including, I'm very excited to say, I'm going to be back at Farm Fest this
awesome.
Year, which is even closer to my hometown than it was last year. It's just like 22 miles, I think, from my front door.
Oh, wow, that's awesome.
So I'm thrilled to be representing my hometown on one of my favorite festival bills.
Definitely.
Or, you know, festivals.
So, you know, the most important question is, where do folks go to get the new CD?
I'm glad you asked that. right now, you can go to, or I guess I'm not sure when this is, but you can go to AaronBuzzes.com. And you can download it, or you can buy a physical copy. I think it's $6 to download the CD, or $10 plus shipping for the physical copy, and they'll ship out right away. And as of Thursday, which is the official release date, May 16th, that will be available on iTunes, I think. Actually, I'm not sure how long it takes, but it should be available on Amazon and iTunes, and certainly it will be up on CD Baby that day. So, and then locally here in Missoula, I'm going to get them for sale at all the you know, usual places.
Well, the one thing we want you to do is we want you to run out of CDs. That's the goal.
That would be pretty amazing because I've got a whole lot of them. but yeah, I don't mean to push the physical copy. I mean, I guess I do mean to do it. That's what I'm about to do. But this artwork that my buddy did, it really is beautiful. I mean, it's worth having the CD for the artwork.
Definitely. Well, Aaron, you know, I am super proud of you. I know that, you know, all your friends that, you know, from Silent Storm and from IBWIP, we're all really proud of you that you got the CD out. We, you know, it's cool that, like, we would say that you're one of our own, and you're probably the most humble person I know, and that's refreshing that, you know, you're making this music because it means something to you and you're so passionate about it. And that's one of the things that I admire most about you, man.
Well, thanks, Blake. I wouldn't have the following that I do, the beginnings of a following, without you guys playing my my demos and whatnot on your shows. So, and you know, for me, I want the people I want to like my music are the people that like the music that I like.
Right.
So it's that's the other thing about Moonrunners is having the people that are into the Moonrunners Fest, was having the crowd that was there to see all these great bands also enjoy what I had to offer.
Definitely. Well, we played Cougar Bait at the beginning of the interview, before the interview, mm-hmm. and that's on the new album. And the next song we're going to play is Another Man's Woman, which is also on the album. And then after that, we're going to play There's Always Something, because when I hear Aaron Buzz's name, that's the first song that pops into my head. So
that's a good one. I like that song a lot. I still play it every show.
All right, brother. Well, thank you again, and congratulations on the new CD.
Thanks, Blake. Thanks for having me.
Well, there's not too much I'm good at, but I know how to have fun. Just like everyone.
She might be a big tease, or it could be you're that desperate for a firm feeling woman to squeeze. I'll admit I've made mistakes before, it didn't always turn. So sure it should. Well, I ain't gonna sleep with another man's woman again. No, I ain't gonna sleep with another man's woman again. I can say it wasn't worth it, but the guy, he don't deserve it, so I guess we'll just stay friends. So I guess we'll just stay friends.
Hello, I'm Christopher Walken. IBWIP is an interactive show. That means get off your asses and get a hold of us, baby. You can call into the show live or leave us a voicemail. The number is 1-203-429-4711. It's free, so dial it up now, I implore you. You can also email us with questions or comments at blake@ibwip.com. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and subscribe to your Pia Vision YouTube page. All the links are on the front page of ibwip.com.
Stay home. Well, it seems like I'm just destined to be alone. I'm over 30 and divorced, and I'm losing my hair, and my musical career is swiftly going nowhere. Drinking all alone on a Friday night. Well, you must all think that I'm a pretty sad.
bedside.
Are you a blogger or a podcaster, or you're just not happy with your web hosts? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free site builder, and the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use the special coupon code Section8686, you'll save 25% off your web hosting packages. What do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs.